Hey there, what is going on? It is Rob from Crypto Bobby, and today I want to talk to you specifically about accessibility within cryptocurrency and what that means when it comes to properly valuing cryptocurrency. Now, some of this kind of thought process is actually derived, really the majority of this thought process is derived from the conference call. I referenced it the other day, how to value cryptocurrency conference call. And this specific portion was from Ari Paul, who's the managing partner of Block Tower Capital. And I thought this was really, really interesting, very, very well done. And I think for a lot of people that didn't either have a chance to watch this or are newer to the space, this is something that you really need to be aware of and understand. So when we look at this, we'll pop over here and we'll look at accessibility. And as you can see within cryptocurrency, so what is accessibility and what does this point to? So essentially, accessibility is how easily accessible a cryptocurrency is. And there's kind of numerous ways to think about that, whether it is it's difficult to get a certain cryptocurrency in a specific country, whether you are in one country and it's not actively traded on many exchanges there, it's difficult to get it there, whether it is difficult to store in wallets. So a lot of people do not store that specific cryptocurrency in wallets and they therefore don't buy it on exchanges. There are a number of ways that you can look at accessibility. And to that standpoint, there's two things that Ari mentioned within this presentation that I liked. And you've seen, and you've probably seen that I'll reference here as well from a more recent timetable, but two different things where when Litecoin was added to Coinbase on May 3rd of 2017, it had a immediate 30% rally. So it immediately went up 30%. And then it also had a rally prior to that because it was essentially priced in prior to that. And even more recently, that Ari mentioned and I thought was a good point, was Monero. So we can pull up Monero here. I'll pull up in CoinMarketCap with Monero and we'll go back and we'll look at these charts with Monero. So taking a quick look at the past 3 months. So if you're looking right here, Monero was worth about around $600 million or so market cap wise. At a specific point, around $800 million market cap in August. And news came that it was getting added to BitThumb, which is a massive exchange in Asia and in Korea, and opened up the accessibility for people in Korea to purchase Monero. And immediately on that announcement, the price went from $53 to $79 and then moved all the way up to $150 at a certain point. And you could even see now that it is accessible in Korea, it is now the highest volume traded pair for Monero. It's 42% of the volume is now traded on BitThumb with Korean fiat. So from an accessibility perspective, what does this matter to you and how can you continue to look at accessibility? And I'll skip this little portion in regards to ICOs, but from an accessibility standpoint, whether it's something that's being traded on a new exchange or if it's something that is just basically being offered to more and more people, the more accessible a cryptocurrency is, the more markets it's traded on, the more people that have access to it, not necessarily the more valuable it is, but the higher likelihood that it will have value. If it's extremely difficult for a cryptocurrency to be purchased, if it's only purchased on a couple different markets, how likely are people to purchase that? Probably not likely. And if something is offered on every exchange in every single fiat pairing, basically across every country in the world, like Bitcoin or like Ethereum, basically, obviously that isn't the complete driver of a Bitcoin or Ethereum's price. But at the same point in time, the more accessible it's become, the easier that it's been for individuals and retail investors to purchase it, the better it's grown and the more utility that there is with purchasing it. And you can even take a look at a couple different things in more recent examples. So If we take a look here with Civic, and I'll pull up maybe the 4-hour charts as well, but we could take a look here with Civic as of recently. So Civic was trading, kind of trading along, hanging out a little bit, doing its thing, CVC, and news came out that Civic was being added to Poloniex. Immediately, Civic went up close to 40% on one 4-hour candle when it was getting added to Poloniex. More accessible, increased accessibility, the price went up. Granted, the price has had somewhat of a slow kind of trickle down since that announcement. It's still up. Let's take a look here. It's still up about 15% or so, but it had a nice movement up. Civic did. Now, how can you utilize this in the understanding of trading and the understanding of investing within cryptocurrency? So there's a couple different ways, in my opinion. To that point, I think this is especially valuable in two different components. Number one, institutional investments that we'll talk about in a second here, and also recently ICO cryptocurrencies. So to that point, Moneta is a fairly recently ICO cryptocurrency. I did invest in it. I participated in the ICO. What do we have here? So I invested in the ICO. They raised $37 million in 18 minutes. Participated that through the Syntex smart contract, which was actually great. But they raised that $37 million in 18 minutes. And now it took, I believe, five or so days for the tokens to be transferable. They were released on September 5th or 6th or something like that after the ICO was completed. And now basically the only place that Moneta is traded is Ether Delta. Excuse me. So, granted, Moneta has done pretty well since its ICO for the most part. But if we look over here, and if you're ever looking to find the markets that something is traded at, go to CoinMarketCap, click on markets. That'll tell you the source, the pairings, everything that you need to know, and the volume. With that being said, Moneta is primarily really just traded on Ether Delta. Mercatox as well, but primarily Ether Delta. And with that being said, if you go to etherdelta.com, which is now it's moved off of GitHub and is now on Ether Delta. If you take a look at Ether Delta here, it's a decentralized exchange, obviously, and it is a little bit more difficult for the majority of people to utilize to utilize Ether Delta over a Bittrex or a Poloniex or whatever it might be. This limits the accessibility of Moneta right now. So, in my opinion, Moneta and similarly recently ICO'd cryptocurrencies that are only available on Ether Delta, they might spike on Ether Delta at a certain point in time, but when the accessibility is so much more limited because it's only on Ether Delta, and quite frankly, a lot of people in cryptocurrency, especially new people, just aren't comfortable trading or buying or selling on Ether Delta, then they won't do it, and they'll wait till it gets on a bigger exchange. They'll wait till it goes on a Liquid, or they'll wait till it goes on Bittrex, or whatever exchange it might be. So right now, in my opinion, and especially with a lot of these ICOs, the inaccessibility after the ICO, there is now a longer time where exchanges are doing due diligence on cryptocurrencies because they don't want to list potential tokens that they'll have to delist and tokens that they'll get in trouble with regulators on. So they're doing a longer due diligence period and they're waiting longer to add these cryptocurrencies to the exchanges. So with that being said, these cryptos like Moneta and some of the other recently ICO'd currencies out there are spending a longer time on Ether Delta than they typically have in the past. So what does that mean for you? That means that it might take longer to make profit on an ICO. If you were looking for a quick flip, it might take a little bit longer because the inaccessibility is priced, in my opinion, is priced into the ICO, priced into the price right now. The only place somebody can really buy this is at Ether Delta. There's a lot of people that literally will send me a tweet or whatever and say, I really want to buy MTH, but I'm afraid to use Ether Delta, or I'm not comfortable using Ether Delta, whatever it might be. So when you consider that, that's accessibility issues. That is something that Arius is speaking about in regards to cryptocurrency. So when you are looking at those ICOs, I think that with the regulation, the longer time between a cryptocurrency ICOs and when those tokens are transferable, and between when it actually gets listed on a large accessible exchange that makes it easy for people to purchase those cryptocurrencies. In the meantime, whether it's sitting on EtherDelta or another decentralized exchange or whatever it might be, the time to value or the price appreciation in that kind of void time period, in that purgatory period, it might be lower than you'd hope for. At least that's kind of what I'm thinking about at this point in time. I think because it's inaccessible, because it's harder to access these cryptocurrencies in EtherDelta, if you're not comfortable trading on the platform, if you're not comfortable trading on a decentralized exchange, then you're not willing to pay for it and you're just going to wait till it goes onto a centralized exchange like Bittrex. So that's one thing to keep in mind there as well. Now, outside of that as well, into the components of institutional investments. So this is something that I think is going to be fascinating to see moving forward. And this is a great point that Ari made within this. But essentially what he said is that right now it's very difficult for institutional investors, whether it's large pension funds, large funds out there, hedge funds, whoever it might be, private equity, big money that is looking to put money to work within cryptocurrency. It is much more difficult than anything else, at least from an investment vehicle perspective. And the Bitcoin hedge fund, or the cryptocurrency hedge funds, they're taking care of all that, of the kind of storage and the security and a lot of that stuff on their own. There's not necessarily a big intermediary there yet. So it's leading to some hesitation within institutional investment. He mentions in the conversation that there are people that run institutional investment firms that have large portfolios that are personally invested in cryptocurrency, whether it's Bitcoin, Ethereum, or altcoins, or whatever it might be, but they can't justify the fact of putting somebody else's money to work within cryptocurrency yet, either for safety purposes or just with accessibility. So to that point, one of the things that he thinks is going to be important is around having qualified custodial services, third parties within to assist those institutional investors in kind of making things happen and making sure that there's really a qualified third party there to facilitate the transactions that they would be having. And then in addition to that, high quality institutional grade investment vehicles. So essentially ETFs. ETFs with the cryptocurrency that might be insured and held with a quality custodial service. So basically having the ability to not just have to go to an exchange and go to GDAX and then buy thousands and thousands and thousands of Bitcoins if you're putting billions of dollars to work or hundreds of millions of dollars to work. They could go to an ETF and purchase a diversified portfolio of Bitcoin, Ethereum, maybe Litecoin, Monero, Dash, Ripple, whatever it might be, purchase an ETF cryptocurrency. And when that happens, that is really going to increase the accessibility for institutional investors, as well as, in my opinion, to outside of just institutional investors, retail investors as well. I think that's going to increase overall accessibility quite a bit. And Ari's prediction, which I tend to agree with as well, and I think is, he calls aggressive, but at the same time, I don't think it's that aggressive, is that if an ETF, if these kind of three requirements he essentially mentions to increase the accessibility or to allow institutional investors into the space, third-party qualified custodial services, an investment vehicle with basically insured operational risk, essentially an ETF, a diversified ETF, and credible fund managers in the space. So probably the people that are in the space right now with these smaller firms moving to a larger firm. If those three things can happen, he sees probably $100 billion of institutional money going into cryptocurrency investments within that year of that taking place, if those three things happen. So not necessarily within a year from now, but if those three things happen within a year of institutional money getting into the space, he sees about $100 billion of institutional money going in. With a market cap at $145 billion right now, that would take you to $245 billion. Obviously a significant increase, but I think that is absolutely possible. And like he mentions too, and the California Public Employee retirement system. That pension alone is $290 billion. There are so many pension systems out there and hedge funds and private equity firms that want to put this money to work for higher return and have money sitting on the sidelines, but there are constraints around actually investing in something like cryptocurrency because just the controls aren't there and it's not accessible enough as something like simply, you know, buying a large scale ETF might be, buying a stock, buying a specific fund. So that is something really of note. But overall, kind of spinning everything backwards and summarizing, the accessibility of a specific cryptocurrency is very important in my opinion. The more markets, and I tend to agree with Ari quite a bit here, the more accessible that something is, I think the higher, it doesn't necessarily mean the more valuable it is. I think it has a potential for more value, but the higher likelihood it might have to succeed in the long run. And the less accessible something is, especially in the short term, I think that depresses the value of something. Certainly these recently ICO'd cryptocurrencies like Moneta, or like a lot of these, you know, currencies that are sitting on EtherDelta right now and not traded anywhere else, that hurts. I think that hurts being only traded on a place that is not as accessible or not as easily utilized as something like a Bittrex or a Poloniex or whatever exchange you might be utilizing in, you know, whatever country you're watching this in. That is something to take note of. So how can you play this? How can you take advantage of accessibility? So number one, I think, you know, you want to potentially look at cryptocurrency where there is a high demand for it and it is not as accessible as you feel like it potentially could be in the future. So, you know, if there's something like me personally, I'm holding on to Moneta right now after the ICO, even though it's done well, it's basically doubled since the ICO, at least on an ETH pairing perspective. It's close to doubled on an ETH pairing perspective since the ICO. But I'm holding on because I think once it hits an exchange, it's going to be that much more accessible, that many more people are going to buy it, and it's going to do well when it goes onto an exchange. So, you know, whether it's a recently ICO'd cryptocurrency that is trading somewhat conservatively over the ICO price and still hasn't hit a big exchange and has a big following behind it and has a lot of excitement behind it, that might be one way to play it. Another way to play the accessibility might be simply looking at certain cryptocurrencies that have been trading strongly, that have a lot of volume behind them, but maybe aren't utilized heavily in Asia yet, or might not be on a specific exchange yet. So I think that's one thing to look at as well. And then lastly, too, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, sometimes people talk about this a little bit, but from a Coinbase standpoint, right now there's only three currencies traded on Coinbase. You got Bitcoin, you got Ethereum, and you have Litecoin. If and when Coinbase ever adds a fourth or a fifth cryptocurrency or a sixth cryptocurrency, the currencies that go on an exchange like Coinbase or on a lot of, you know, on any of these big exchanges, they're going to have a lot more long-term success because they're going to be that much more accessible to the average investor as well. So that's something to keep an eye on. But overall, I would definitely recommend, again, taking a watch of this video if you have not already. I will link to it in the description and I'll throw it in the comments. But it was I'll put the link up here. But the comments from Ari were extremely, extremely helpful and very insightful in my opinion as far as how you should really approach things in the future. That is something that I would recommend definitely taking a look at, this video, how to value cryptocurrency. If you are unfamiliar with the space, and each person, Stephen, Chris, Ryan, and Ari, the four speakers of this conference call, all had separate ways of valuing cryptocurrency. So while accessibility is one aspect of things, it's not the only way to value a cryptocurrency. There's multiple ways to, it's kind of multiple ways to skin a cat here. You could do this in multiple ways. You can try to, if you're great at math, it could be very much a formulaic exercise. I believe Chris Berniski was very formulaic in terms of how he put things in. Steven was pretty formulaic. Ryan was, not as much formulaic. Ari is on the accessibility side of the house, so it's a little bit more ambiguous per se, but all of these guys have different value that they, derive from cryptocurrency, different ways they can kind of measure what they think is valuable. Neither one is right. Neither one is necessarily wrong, but it's as an educated investor, I think it's important to know kind of how to approach every single one of these aspects, or at least understand how other people are valuing cryptocurrency so that you have some insight as to what, so that you can know what's valuable. You have to know what other people think is valuable, I think is important. And accessibility, in my opinion, is kind of one of the easier ways, or at least for newbies. I think one of the easier ways to kind of look at this market and get a feel for some of the things that go on, like these new exchange listings where you see spikes of 30, 50%, whatever it might be. So that really covers what I wanted to talk about in the video today. If you are new to the channel, my name is Rob from Crypto Bobby. I would really appreciate a subscribe. I hope this video is helpful for you. Trying to, you know, provide as much value as possible when it comes to investing in cryptocurrency and looking long-term perspective and really providing you an understanding of how things move from a level-headed and calm standpoint, not just, you know, looking at the day in, day out type stuff, but also thinking long-term and strategically about what goes on here. If you have any questions, please sound off in the comments. I try to answer every single comment that I can. And again, if you are new, hit the subscribe button. Thank you so much for your time today. I hope this was helpful for you. Rob from Crypto Bobby signing out. Have a fantastic day, night, whether you're buying, trading, holding, selling, take it easy.